Lord, so we ask that you would speak to our hearts through your word. God, how we need your word today more than ever. We thank you that it's a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. It illuminates the way, Lord, as we try our best to navigate through this dark, dying, decaying, fallen world. We need your word to lead, guide us, direct us, teach our hearts, teach our minds, Lord. Our hearts and minds are open to receive from you today. We thank you and we bless you, Lord. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. If you would, open your Bibles to Acts chapter 3. I believe it's been since December that I've been giving just one message on communion. We would try and do two, but now we just do one. And so we'll do a communion message today. Amen. Also, if you have your bulletin, take a look at the back of your bulletin. It's something we've been doing during Bible study. It's called a soap. So, you know, we all need soap at least once a day. Amen. Or at least once a day. Toothpaste and lotion and everything else, all right? But this stands for Scripture, Observation, Application, and Prayer. So next week I kind of have a motto on the screen. We couldn't get it this morning. But it just helps you as we're going through. So your assignment today, as we're going through the Scripture that speaks to you, you write it down. What God is saying to you or what are you seeing in the Scripture, you write that under observation. The application, how you would apply it to your life, and then the prayer, you create your own prayer to go with it. We've been doing it on Wednesday nights, and so we thought it'd be something to implement on Sunday, and it is soap message, and it's real simple, and it's just for your own edification and your own spiritual growth. Remember, we have to actively participate in our own spiritual growth. Amen. Amen. It's not autopilot. It just doesn't happen. God's been giving us some really good insights on Wednesday nights. And so you all are Bible scholars. We're all trying to be Bible scholars. Amen. You should be. Something's going to teach you. Let it be the word of God. Acts chapter 3. Also, make a note, I have it in my notes, so I wouldn't forget to tell you that next week is Mother's Day, amen? Amen. Amen. We thank God for our mothers, and then my mom snuck in on us this morning, so thank God for Mother's Day. But even for me, it's even more special, because next week is Mother's Day, but it's also Tracy's birthday. So start praying for me right now, amen? Okay. I'm not playing. I'm serious. Amen. Okay. So if you want to do something nice for your first lady and give her a card or something, you know, be sure and do that. Let her know how much you appreciate her. I believe she's teaching the youngsters this morning so that she's out doing her thing there, which is good. So we could talk about her without her being here. Right. In a good way. In a good way. Thank you. In a good way, Brother Manny. Amen. It's okay if you talk about somebody behind their back in a good way. The problem is when we start all that gossip and all that other foolishness, that's when it's not good. Amen. Amen. So let me say this really quickly, and then we will get into the message. Here we are, the fifth Sunday. Whew. We're just at Sister Caraway's house celebrating the new year, New Year's Eve. We're 5 months in, the number of grace. Remember, you should be in your Proverbs daily. Remember, the Proverbs this year have replaced the horoscope. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
We're really focused on believing what God says. And then we've also, the last couple of weeks, talking about the peace of God, the P-E-A-C-E, the peace of God ruling our hearts and minds. Where the rest of God, the quietness of God, the blessed state That's what the word peace means. Let that rule your heart. So that's the peace of God and not a peace, P-I-E-C-E. You need more than a peace. You need to give God 100%. All right. Don't get it confused. You don't need a peace of God. You need the peace of God, but you need to 100% of God. Amen. So let's get into our communion message for this Sunday morning. Did I say Acts 3:1?
Yes.
Now, Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. So the ninth hour is the time of prayer. Peter and John are going up there to pray. They're going to find thousands of people praying in the hour of prayer. Hopefully they would find you and I praying. Amen?
Amen.
Hopefully we would be in that number. So the church has just been established. You have Peter and John. The same Peter and John that hid when Christ was crucified. The same Peter who cussed the lady out after denying Christ three times and said, "I don't even know him." And now something incredible has happened, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And all of a sudden they're filled with the Holy Spirit. The day of Pentecost has just come. They're filled with God's Spirit. You can't shut them up. They're walking boldly because of the power of God through the Holy Spirit. They're not afraid anymore. Even to the point from this day forward, Peter would never stop talking about Jesus Christ until they killed him. Crucified him upside down, because he said, "I'm not worthy to be crucified like Jesus. Crucify me upside down." Nobody does that for a lie. We talked about that. So just think about as we're going to take communion and what it means today, 2016 years later, and what it meant to them on this day. Let's go back. Let's take a look at just a few things. You'll have plenty of scriptures to soap about. I promise you. Amen. Go back to the previous chapter. Let's just kind of put a little bit in context. let's go to 236. Acts 236. And this is Peter speaking. He's just told them how Jesus Christ has fulfilled everything. It's the day of Pentecost. It's the day of fasting. It's the day of seeking God. Three times a year, the Jews would get together with everybody and God would talk to all the men. During these times, during these different feasts, one of them is the Passover. The other one is the Day of Atonement. And then this one is the Pentecost, the Day of Pentecost. So they're together. Peter just broke down the gospel to them. We pick up the conversation in 32:36. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God had made the same Jesus whom you have crucified. He's both Lord and Christ. Underline Lord and Christ. So he can be the Messiah, but is he also the Lord of your life this morning? Which means he controls and dictates everything. He is Lord and Christ. Whether he's the Lord and Christ of your life, that's up to you. But he is Lord and Christ. 37. Now when they heard this, they were pricked, or they were cut in their heart, and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" See the power of the Holy Spirit moving already. It's touched their heart. When we go out and we minister to people, it's not us. It's not the words. It's up to the power of the Holy Spirit to touch their hearts. So it takes us out of the equation. Yes, we share the gospel. We do our part. But then it's the power of the Holy Spirit that moves on their heart. And they say, someone would say, what must I do to be saved? What do I do now? It's the power of the Holy Spirit moving. So they ask them, what should they do? And look what Peter says. Acts 2:38. And you guys, don't make me tell the joke again about Acts 2:38, right? Right? Okay, go ahead. Somebody, you shouldn't have said go ahead. Okay. So the guy breaks into the lady's house. All right. And He's coming through the door, and she says, she's crying, calling out, "Acts 2:38, Acts 2:38, repent and be baptized, Acts 2:38, Acts 2:38. Guy jumps out the window. Police happen to be pulling up at the same time. He jumps out the window, and they catch him, and I said, man, why are you running from this lady like this? He said, well, she said she had an axe and 2/38. Don't man, I don't write it. I just say it. I just say this stuff. Don't make me tell the joke again. All right, all right. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness or the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift. Underline the gift. The Holy Ghost is a gift. It can't be bought. You can't buy God. I don't care how much money you have or how much money you don't have. You got to receive the free gift of salvation. It's through Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Christ. He's the Messiah. He's the Lord. It's the gift. For by grace are we saved through faith. We don't live right to get saved. We live right because we're saved. We couldn't live that right to be saved. Well, God would say, you're so right. You don't have to do nothing else. Just your lifestyle has saved you. Yeah, no, I don't think so. Anybody there? Raise your hand if you're there. That's why, for by grace are we saved through faith. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. But we have to receive the gift. And because we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, it gives us the power to live right. And it gives us the desire to live right, because we want to represent our Lord and our Christ. So here we are. It says, for this promise is unto you, to your children, and to all that are far off. That was us. Somebody lost this morning? Even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Verse 40. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourself from this crooked generation. Wow. That sounds like this year, doesn't it? Somebody said the Bible's not relevant. Trust me, it is very relevant. Peter was telling him back then, you need to save yourself. Now remember, these are all Jews that he's speaking to. Save yourself from this crooked generation. Verse 41. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. 3,000 people got saved that day. Now here you are. You're talking about Jews. Those who practiced the Passover, the Day of Atonement, the Pentecost. Those that did circumcision. And now they're saying, wait a minute. Peter is telling them, oh, that's the Messiah. He just broke it down that the Messiah is here. And when they've added up the scriptures, I was at a men's retreat this weekend. I had to speak at a men's retreat. One of the other speakers there is a good friend of mine, and he's been studying the Hebrew. And just, I mean, he's fluent in it. He's even teaching a class here in Long Beach. Some of us, we might want to take it. I'll share the flyer another time. But he was trying to tell me, and you know, I haven't researched, but he was telling me that the same day of the year, in the year of Nisan, you know, the Jewish calendar is different. But he said, for example, if this is May 1st or whatever the day was, the same day that God split the Red Sea, the same day that the Noah's Ark landed, and the same day that Jesus Christ resurrected was the same day in the Hebrew. So I said, what do you mean? It's all happened on the same, well, May 1st, May 1st, May 1st, according to their Jewish calendar. Are you kidding me? And why don't the Jews get it? Well, when God blinds your heart and your eyes, you don't see it. But for right here, they saw it. So he's speaking to this deep tradition of Jews about all that God talked about in the Old Testament, in the Torah. Here it is. Jesus Christ fulfilled it. 3,000 people said, I want to get saved. Then verse 42. And they continue steadfast in the apostles' doctrine, which is the word of God, and fellowship. So here's the first church. This is what they did in the first church. This is why we do what we do. We pattern ourselves after the very first church. So we stay in the word and fellowship, the breaking of bread, which we would do, and in prayer. Somebody say amen. Verse 43, and fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things in common. Underline all that believed. All that word believed in the Greek is trusted, committed, sold out to Jesus Christ being their Lord, and their Christ had all things in common. Verse 45, and sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. And so that's why we come to church and we give, because God has blessed us and the word tells us to give. Never puts an amount on it. It says God loves a cheerful giver. You sow sparingly, you reap sparingly. So that's between you and God. In the Old Testament, they did talk about the tithe, but the tithe is not mentioned in the New Testament. So we give according to our tithes and offering, but it's really between you and God. And here we, you know, we don't play games, we don't play tricks, we don't play gimmicks about money or any of that stuff. It's your relationship with God. Is he your Lord and is he your Christ? It's all to it. It's never about the money. It's about, is it you that can do more with that 10% than God could do with the 90? That's what level are you on? What level is your faith in God on? And they continued daily with one accord in the temple. They went to church every day. In the temple. Remember, it was a temple. Now it's becoming a church. They got rid of the temple and started the church. And then they started doing communion. They started doing baptisms. And they started preaching and teaching Jesus Christ. That's the circumstantial evidence. That's a major shift. Here's these staunch Jews doing the Passover and circumcision, all that. Now all of a sudden they're doing baptisms. They're doing communion. And they're talking about Jesus Christ resurrected from the dead. That is radical. That is ridiculous. And we're still doing it today. How do we know God exists? We're still doing it today. It shifted to Jesus Christ. And they continued, verse 46 again, they continued daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking of bread from house to house did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. They were on the same page. As you're praying for the church, and I know that we have our ladies praying on Tuesday, we're praying on Wednesday at Bible study, pray for singleness of heart. Pray that we be on one accord as we go out to seek and to save those that are lost. As we go out to make disciples, pray that we be on one accord when we come here, that Jesus Christ is our Lord and he's our Christ. He's our Savior. He's our Lord. We work for him. This is his church. One accord. We agree on that. Everything else, we work it out according to the word. God is a God of decency, order, and detail. Verse 47, praising God and having favor. Come on, somebody say amen. Having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church. Now it becomes a church. So it shifted from the temple to the church. Daily, such as should be saved or rescued. So it's a major shift. Now look, Peter and John, look at what they're getting ready to do. Now let's pick it back up at 3:1. Now they're going into the temple. These guys are like riding. They go into the temple at the 9th hour of prayer. We're going in to talk about Jesus Christ right now. Let's go to the temple. Same guys who was hiding and running and cussing people out. They're going to the temple. They're walking into the lion's den. They're going into the temple to talk about Jesus Christ. And look what happens. A strange thing happened on the way to the temple one day. Verse 2. And a certain man, underline certain. Remember, it's always a certain man. It's always a certain woman. It means that this whole thing is just very personal. It's not about everybody else. It's about the certain one. And to you and I, in God's eyes, we're all that certain one. God's not going to ask you about your mama. He's not going to ask you about your daddy, your kids, your grandkids, your grandma who went to church and your papa was a preacher and all that. It's going to be you. You're that certain one to God. That's all God is concerned about. It's about you and God. You are that certain one. Your situation is different. Mine is different. But God sees us as that certain one and we have to answer to God. But here is a certain man lame from his mother's womb. All right, so research says this man was over 40. 40 years crippled. It's a long time. And where was he at? He was carried. Sometimes you need people to carry you. Somebody say amen. I don't care how much money, education, all that other kind of stuff you have or don't have. Sometimes you need people to carry you. Carry you through their prayers. Thank God for moms and grandmoms and grandpas and friends who are carrying us through prayer. Thank God for the women on Tuesday, the church on Wednesday. Thank God for all daily who are praying for us, the church, your family, your friends. Somebody say amen. You need to be carried sometimes. Sometimes it gets to be too much. Thank God that he had people who would carry him every day to church waiting on God. Said daily. And look, it's the temple which is called beautiful. And I looked up that word beautiful. Where's that word beautiful? The temple called beautiful. Beautiful, when you break it down, it means the right time or the right season. So they're carrying him hoping that it's going to be the right time, the right hour, or the right season for his healing. And we'll come back to that when we add it to Solomon's porch, which is a great connection. But we've done this before, and here's 40 years. The guy who was at the pool of Bethesda, make a note, John 5:5, he was there 38 years. But he was at the pool of Bethesda. He was still, because the angels troubled the water, he was still looking for God after 38 years of being in his situation. This guy is 40 years still looking for God. Sometimes we can't wait 40 minutes or 40 days and we're giving up on God. The lady with the issue of blood, it was 12 years. That's Luke 8:43. It was 12 years for her. And she said, if I could just get to Jesus, I could be healed. She never gave up on Jesus. She never gave up on God. Even in her condition, she never gave up. The lady who was crippled in Luke 13:11, it was 18 years and she was going to church. 18 years, still going to church, hoping God would heal her condition. Family, we give up too soon. God is testing our heart more than anything while he's being patient to see what you really going to do, what you really about, how committed are you? God will send you through the wilderness. He'll send your marriage through the wilderness. He'll send your singleness through the wilderness. He'll send your kids through the wilderness. He'll send your parents through the wilderness just to see what are you really made of? What are you really committed to? Here's this guy, 40 years, and he's still coming to church waiting on God. Somewhere in your notes, right? Don't give up on God. We give up too soon. Verse 2 again, and a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, the right time or the right hour, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, ask an alms. Sometimes people don't know what you're going through if you don't let them know. You can't get upset with the church if nobody knows what you're going through and they don't know. And you ain't told nobody. You know, nobody called me. Nobody knew. You didn't even check your answering machine anyway. You don't even know how to check your voicemail. You got about 10 messages. But he spoke up. He said, look, I need some help. And then thank God that Peter and John, that they weren't so busy trying to get in and do church stuff, that they didn't say, man, I ain't got time for that, dude. I got to go preach the gospel as I step over the people who need help at the gate. We can't be so busy coming in here that we forget about those that are out there. And as God would have it, as I'm driving up, it's a guy sitting right there on the curb, right at the parking lot. All right, God, I get it. Went over and ministered to him and actually said, yeah, every time I come by here, every time I walk by, I got to come in. I feel the presence of God. He said, even when I'm walking by, I feel the presence of God every time I walk by. He's going to come in. So I know one of your members and And I really need to come in. I'm going through some things. I really need to come in. I know that God is real. I came in and God said, go back out and talk to him. So we can't be so busy as when we're coming in. We got to look for opportunities. Look for opportunities on your job, at the gym, at school, youngsters. Look for opportunities. People are hurting and they know about God. The guy said, man, I love God. I know about God. I got to get my life together. And he said, Pastor, bless you, man, for coming and just sharing with me. I'm going to get it together. I know God is waiting on. I know he's always been there. We don't know what people are going through, and you don't know if you walk over them. And in verse 4, and Peter, fastening his eyes on him with John, said, look at us. Sometimes you got to just look people in the eye and say, hey, look, what's going on? And when you look them in the eye, they could see if you really believe what you're talking about. If you really believe that this God stuff is for real. When I look you in the eye and I'm going, yeah, you know, God is a healer. You know, you looking at, are you looking at me? Or are you looking at God can do any, God can do anything? No, well, why don't you look at me? Look at me and tell me that. God can do anything, my sister. It's nothing too hard for God. He said, look at us. And they talked about God. They told him, we really don't have much silver or gold. We don't have that kind of stuff. But what we have. Verse 6, then Peter said, silver and gold I have none, but such as I have, I'll give unto you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Get up and walk. Somebody say amen. Power of God, the power of Jesus Christ. Sometimes we have to allow the supernatural power of God to give us more than we could ask or think. Sometimes we think we need dollars and cents, but God says, no, you need something that money can't buy. You need the supernatural blessing of deliverance and strength and joy and peace and comfort and guidance. Direction, wisdom, knowledge, understanding, insight, discernment. God, give me what money can't buy in the name of Jesus that I really need. Let me drink from the living water of Jesus Christ that never runs out. He took him by the right hand, verse 7. Sometimes you got to help people up. Sometimes you got to lift them up. Sometimes you got to walk with them. Yeah, we do have to call them. We do have to encourage them. We do have to go visit. Sometimes you got to, this is discipleship. You lift them up and you walk. And immediately when they lifted him up by the right hand, which is power, which is authority, which is strength, immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple. Walking and leaping and praising God. That's how we should come in every Sunday. I mean, no, seriously. Yeah, it is a miracle, right? And we take it for granted that getting up in the morning is a miracle. And we come in. I got up this morning. Now, come on, really? You got up. You should come in. I got up. Woo! That's a miracle. Look, we take the grace of God for granted. We let this world bog us down with so much stuff that we miss out on the blessing and the grace and the miracle of just getting up in the morning. And notice, he got his blessing, he got his miracle, and he didn't go out to the club, he didn't go out to the liquor store, he went to church. He didn't go home and cut on the game and like, now I can kick my crippled feet up and watch the games. They straight now. I can kick my feet up and watch the game. He came to church. He went right into the temple with them. 40 years he's been like that. 40 years he's been waiting on God. Family, don't give up. Don't give up too soon. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. And they knew that it was him who sat and begged at the beautiful gate. Okay, remember, the beautiful is the right time. It was the right hour of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. And as verse 11, and as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John. Look, he held on to him. He stuck with him. Continue to hold on to the godly people in your life. Don't get away from, don't separate yourself from the godly people in your life. Those who are actually walking and living and breathing this thing, stay close, hold on to them. And all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. So, okay, so here's the connection. You have the temple, which is called beautiful. The right time, the right season, and then Solomon, which means peaceful. You know when it's the right time and the right season in your life to do something because the peace comes with it. You know it's the right time when the peace comes. Sometimes it might be the right thing, but it's not the right time because the peace isn't there. It was the right time, and the peace was there as well. You're making decisions. Should I do this? Is the peace of God there? If it's not there, maybe it's not. Spend a little more time in prayer to see. Maybe it's not the right time if the peace of God isn't there with it. Verse 12, and when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, you men of Israel, why are you marveling at this? Or why are you looking at us as if we did something by our own power? The power of God in the crooked places of our life, the crippled places of our life, the power of God can make us whole just like it did this young man. Amen. All the things that aren't straight, the power of God can make us whole in the midst of a broken, decaying, dying world. He said, why are you looking as if we did this? And then Peter gets into the history lesson in verse 13. The God of Abraham, of Isaac. Remember, he's in the church. He's in the temple. He went in riding. They all came in. Then they all came, thousands of people in the temple. And I'm preaching the gospel now. You guys don't know what's going on, but let me tell you about it. That's why it starts in verse 11. Because they're Jewish. He saw him, the God of Abraham, of Isaac, of Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his son, Jesus, who you delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. Woo, boy. Is that the same Peter said, I don't know him, cussed the lady out and was hiding? What happened? Make a note, what happened was Acts 1 and 3 when Jesus Christ was resurrected and spent 40 days teaching them about the kingdom of God and said, now go, wait for the Holy Spirit, then go. Can't deny the power of a changed life filled with the Holy Spirit. Peter says in verse 14, but you denied the Holy One and the just and desired a murderer to be granted unto you and killed the Prince of Life. That word prince means the author of life. The author of life you killed. And we know it was God's plan so we could be free. Somebody say amen. Amen. As we take communion, that's why it's so important. The author of life, the Prince of Life, resurrected on that third day. Whom God had raised from the dead. Therefore, we are witnesses. We saw it. We spent time with Jesus for 40 days after he was resurrected. Verse 16, and his name through faith. And his name, through faith in his name, had made this man strong. Give the glory to God. When you tell your story, give God the glory. Don't take it for yourself. It's all about Jesus. Hey, don't look at us. It's about Jesus Christ. Don't be ashamed to tell your story. People want to know, hey, why is this? Why is that? Well, look, you know, I serve Jesus Christ. I've committed my heart. He's my Lord. He's my Christ. I believe in God. Well, I serve a Lord. He's my Lord and my Christ. Well, I believe in God. Well, I'm talking about Jesus being my Lord and my Christ. That's totally different. We know the devils believe and tremble, so don't be impressed with people talking about to believe in God. Is he your Lord and your Christ? As we said, right, Brother Tommy, you can't stay on the level of a devil. You got to get off the level of a devil. They believe he's my Lord and he's my Christ. Get off the level of a devil. I'm not impressed. You know, devils ain't saved. Just in case you want to know. They're not. You can believe and go to hell. Listen to a pastor was saying, there's a lot of believers in hell. They're like, man, I believe now. Well, it's too late. Everyone in hell is a believer. You better believe it. Verse 16, in his name, through faith in his name, had made this man strong, whom you see and know. You know this dude. Yeah, the faith which is by him or through him have given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. Our faith, our belief, our trust in God, even with the brokenness, the issues, God can make us whole through Christ. And now, brethren, I know that through your ignorance you did it, as did your rulers. That's why when Christ said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do, it covered the ignorance of sin, which in Leviticus, was that, I believe it's Leviticus, was it 17 and 3? Leviticus 4 and 13 and 27. If you committed a sin, even if you didn't know it, once you knew it, then you had to go and make an offering for that sin. I didn't know that was a sin. Oh, okay. So that's why Jesus said, forgive them, for they know not what they do. So when we commit a sin, even we don't know, we're already forgiven. Somebody say amen. Then he said, it is finished. Now, I was excited about that. I don't know. Maybe y'all stopped sinning a long time ago, but I'm thankful that he covered that too. That sin of ignorance. That's why we ask God, forgive me of sins I committed knowingly and unknowingly. All right, let's finish this up. Verse 18. But those things which God before had showed by the mouth of all his prophets. He goes back to the prophets. Yeah, all this has been written. This is nothing new to them. It's nothing new to them. That Christ should suffer and how he had fulfilled. Christ fulfilled everything. Verse 19. Repent. Turn around. Give your life to Christ. Therefore, and be converted that your sins may be blotted out. When the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. Let's finish in Acts 4 and 1. And as they spoke unto the people, the priest and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them. Being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection of the dead. No, nobody wants them to even talk about that name of Jesus Christ. Just like today, you could talk about this, that, the other, but you talk about Jesus, man, stop. It's too much power in that name. It's really something to that name. You stop. You're going to actually get people saved. You're going to get them delivered. You're going to get them healed and set free. Stop talking about it. Don't preach through that name. Take it out of the Pledge of Allegiance. Take it out of the Boy Scout Pledge. Take it out of the Girl Scout Pledge. We don't want to hear about that anymore. Because Jesus said, motto after him. Jesus was the servant king. Which means you got to serve others. See, I don't want to hear that because I don't really want to serve my wife. I want her to serve me. But Christ said, love her as Christ loved, as he loved the church. So I don't want to hear about the servant king because I don't really want to serve like that. Now I really want to love my neighbors. I love myself, as the word says. So don't talk to me about that name. I don't want to be humble. I want to be selfish. I want to do it my way. But when I got to become a servant king as Christ, then I have to change him. So don't talk to me about that name. Because I want this to be all about me. That's why I don't talk. I want to hear about that stuff because I got to change everything, even my way of thinking. So don't talk about that name. Verse 2 again, they were grieved. They were stressed out because that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. They don't want to hear about that powerful stuff. To the point, verse 3, they laid hands and put them in jail till the next day. But check out verse 4, and we'll stop here. Howbeit, many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of men was about 5,000. Talk about a mega church, a mega temple. They went in there and turned that thing upside down. All this Jewish stuff, all that stuff's been fulfilled. We're serving Jesus Christ now. Who's with us? 5,000 got touched by the Holy Spirit. and said, oh, yeah, we're witnesses too. To the point where we know today, this is a powerful God. So as we take communion, Brother Manny, Brother Clarence, come on up. Let's just think about the power and just the boldness and everything that God is reaching out, not forgetting about the least of these. On the night when Jesus was betrayed, Natalie, go to 1 Corinthians. What is it? 11:23. Is that it? Let me see if that's it. I hope that's it. Yes, Natalie. If you could throw up 11:23-26. So as we take communion, it's what Jesus told us to do. Do this in remembrance of me. So we're always reminded that he's coming back, that he lived, that he resurrected. He left evidence. He left the Sabbath. Go ahead, brothers. You can pass it out. The evidence of the Sabbath. Why do we have a rest day? Because God said you need to rest on one day. That's why it's 6 days we work, on the seventh day we rest. Because God said so. He created everything in 6 days. The seventh day he rested. That's why we have 7 days in a week. God has left his evidence on everything that we do. He's left his stamp on everything that we do. Why did the Jews have to circumcise the firstborn, all the males? Because God told them to, and they still do it today. So glad we're Christians. Somebody, all the men say amen. Anyway, I'm happy about that. Why do we do communion? Why do we baptize? Because God told us to. It says the heavens declare his glory. You can't say you didn't know God existed because the heavens declare his glory. I don't know what you thought all this was by accident. It takes more faith to believe that than to believe in the actual resurrection of Jesus Christ. Why do we take communion? Because God told us to remember that Jesus Christ is coming back. For I received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, it's all about forgiveness. It's all about atonement. Can you give thanks after being betrayed? Can you follow that motto that Jesus Christ said? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Same night in which he was betrayed, he was able to give thanks. You got to let it go. You have to forgive. You have to forgive. You have to let it go. Unforgiveness has been compared to you drinking poison and expecting another person to get sick. It just eats you alive. You got to let it go. Give it to God. Just like God forgave us, we should forgive one another. And when he had given thanks, he said, break it. He broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. After the same manner also, he took the cup. And when he had drank, saying, this cup is a new testament in my blood. This do you as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Elevate that which represents his body. And just pause and just think about what Christ had to go through so we could be free. And then think about who you need to let go so you can be free. Who do you need to forgive? God, help us to forgive. Help us not to hold grudges or ill will towards anyone. Because you died for us even when we didn't care about you. So, Lord, we do ask for forgiveness of our sins that we commit knowingly, unknowingly, tried to pretend didn't happen, tried to cover up. God, forgive us now. We come clean. We confess and forsake that we might find mercy. We love you, Lord. We want to live for you. We accept the challenge to make you Lord in Christ. Go on and eat that which represents his body. Then elevate that which represents his blood. We thank you, Lord, that without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. We thank you we don't have to do the sin offering, the trespass offering, and the peace offering, and the burnt offering. Thank you, Lord, that Christ died once and for all on the same day of that Passover. As they're celebrating the Passover, the Lamb is sacrificed, which is Jesus Christ, and resurrected on that third day. Thank you for your grace, your love, your mercy, Lord. Thank you for your salvation plan that rescued us through the blood of Jesus Christ. We ask all these things in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Go on and drink that which represents his blood. Pass your cups to the center aisles. Stand to your feet. Once you pass your cup to the aisle, stand to your feet. I'm going to ask the men, once we dismiss in prayer, all the men just come sit right here. We need you for 5 minutes. If you were born a male, I want you to come and sit right here. Okay, praise the Lord. I shouldn't have said that. Praise the Lord. Pastor, best behavior. Yes. Mom, I forgot you was here. Sorry about that. Lord, we thank you that you've come to give us life and that more abundantly, Lord. We accept the challenge to make you our Lord and our Christ. Not just believe, but to live. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Give someone a hug and you are dismissed. Amen. You doing all right?
Yeah.
Good, good. You're looking good, man.
My stomach's been hurting, so, but like, not been going.